We continue in worship. We have the opportunity to look upon the scriptures. This morning I'll be reading from Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. It says, "Not that I am referring to being in need, for I've learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who gives me strength, who strengthens me." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for this time of worship. We give you thanks for the scriptures for us for today, for a reminder of that you are with us in any and all circumstances and how we find strength in you. So God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. So last week we began looking at what it means to lead like Wesley, John Wesley, one of the founders of the Methodist movement. And we looked at rules of a helper, Wesley's rules of a helper, and we looked at a rule of leading diligently in the way in which Wesley structured his time and gave of himself in pretty strict ways to the gospel and to leading a life that God has called him to lead. And so this week, we're going to be talking about another rule, leading positively, leading positively. Positivity models optimism, assumes good intent, celebrates small wins, and creates environments where people feel valued. And so when we lead positively, we're asking the question, how might we be people who look for the best in everyone? Wesley encouraged his people to give others the benefit of the doubt. Wesley's general outlook on life was positive, whether dealing with people or the everyday hardships. He chose to be content and hopeful in all circumstances, and his commitment to see the best in every situation rose from his belief that a gracious God is at work in the small details of life. In the scripture I read from Philippians, the Apostle Paul is writing a letter to the church in Philippi from a Roman prison. He's found himself in prison for preaching the gospel, and yet despite his circumstances, he writes to the Philippians about contentment and finding strength in Christ. He says, "I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In all circumstances, I've learned the secret of being well-fed and of being hungry, of having plenty and being in need." He reflects on his journey of learning to be content in all circumstances and situations, whether he had found himself in abundance or in need. And then the passage culminates there in verse 13 with that well-known verse, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." We've seen that kind of almost like John 3:16, Philippians 4:13, under where you can write under your eyes there by athletes. "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." Pointing to Christ as the ultimate source of Paul's endurance and ability to navigate all circumstances. Paul didn't say contentment came naturally. He said he learned it, and on the back of your yellow sheet on the flip side, you can read this quote as well. It says, "That means that contentment is a practice available to all of us, a way of choosing gratitude over comparison, focusing on what we have rather than what we lack, and finding peace in the life we're living, not just the life we wish we had." Finding peace in the life we're living, not just the life we wish we had. Like the Apostle Paul, John Wesley had plenty of reasons to give up. as he and other Methodist leaders were attacked and stoned and beaten, and yet they pressed on with faith even when circumstances did not support the optimism for the future. You see, when we lead positively, we encourage a shift in mindset that seeks out contentment and trust in God's provision, offering a pathway to greater peace and fulfillment. Instead of focusing on what's wrong, we look for opportunities to focus on what's possible, reframing obstacles and opportunities to learn and grow and inspire others to do the same. Paul reminds us that our circumstances do not dictate our inner peace and joy, but rather our reliance on God's strength that enables us to find contentment in all situations. You see, Wesley always viewed his challenges through a greater view, through the prism of God's grace framed with God's eternity. He constantly chose a positive attitude as an expression of a grateful heart in the greater picture of life, not just what was happening now, but the hope of what was to come. His peace in the middle of storms, his joy in the face of opposition, was the outflow of the work of God's grace present in his life. Wesley had a group of friends, the Holy Club, that he would call them. He would be in study and in constant relationship with this Holy Club on a regular basis. He sought to surround himself with people who shared the same spirit as him and sought to move in the same direction in a life of holiness. He was wise in selecting the people he spent the most time with. He desired for the others who were to be around him on a regular basis to share in the same what was called good humor as him, because he knew that negativity was contagious. And we remember last week, as Wesley talked about, as diligent as he was, he wouldn't be in long conversations with people because those long conversations would quickly go off topic or be turned into gossip. And so he structured his time in that way, how he spent his time and who he spent it with. At the same time, positivity is contagious as well. And it can create a ripple effect of energy, creativity, and commitment. You see, leadership isn't just about strategy or execution. It's about the energy you bring when you lead. And so John Wesley believed the best about people and communicated that both by his words and his actions. We're heading to annual conference this week, and there's as many lay people there as there are clergy, because you see, Wesley, from the foundation of Methodism, trusted people, trusted lay folks to sustain ministry and movement that we participate in today. And so this structure and this way of doing things continues to be today, equipping lay folks, you, believing in the ordinary and everyday folks who show up to do extraordinary things in making a difference in the world. Believing the best in people. In about 6 weeks, there's a show that will come on Apple TV. It's in season 4 now, Ted Lasso. Maybe you've seen it. I don't endorse the language that's used sometimes, but the lessons that we see in Ted Lasso can carry on to our everyday life. You see, the way that Ted led and leads creates a positive culture, even in the midst of challenges. At the heart of Ted Lasso, the coach's success is his understanding of human nature and the power of a supportive environment where people feel valued, understood, and safe. Ted's positivity is the cornerstone of the way he coaches and lives. Despite facing ridicule as an American coach in the English soccer league, his unwavering optimism, rooted in a growth mindset, always chips away at the cynicism. Early on in season one, he posted this little sign that says, "Believe," there in their locker room. That sign became a daily reminder of faith in oneself and the team. He set a clear vision, inspiring belief, creating an environment where the team was able to learn and grow together. Ted's journey as a football coach in a new sport is a testament of how we can grow. He wasn't afraid to learn, ask questions, and adapt, and encouraged his team to do the same. Stephen Covey, in his book, Principle-Centered Leadership, says that we are to assume the best in others. Assuming good faith produces good fruit. Some may let us down or take advantage of our trust, considering us to be naive or gullible. But most will come through simply because we believe in them. He says, don't bottleneck the many for fear of the few. How might we assume the best in others? How might we live as though we believe in folks? How might we not bottleneck the many for fear of a few? You see, believing the best in others is essential to maximizing our potential as a world. It's the surest way to improve our community and the world as a whole in order to achieve the best possible outcome. Positivity is not just a personality trait. It's a choice that we make every day when we wake up, looking at what we don't know that the day will hold. It's about deciding to live and to lead with optimism, with gratitude, and resilience, even when faced with challenges. Knowing that a God who loves you and a God who loves me gives us the strength to do all things and gives us purpose for the life ahead. So I invite you to think about, where have you been good about keeping that positive mindset, even when in the midst of a challenge that you went through? And how might you grow in that area of your life? Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks for your word for us, how you walk with us each and every moment, how you give us strength to overcome even those times, challenging moments of our life. God, may you inspire an attitude of gratitude within us, and may we serve you in the strength that you give us each and every day. God, we give you thanks for this time together, for this church community, and the ways in which you're at work. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.